For me personally, it's hard to come to Lag BaOmer without learning the Torah from Rav Moshe Wolfson, because I would say that Rav Wolfson was the first person to really expose me to Pnimiyas HaTorah and to the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And Rav Wolfson's Torah is very deep and very beautiful. In the printed volumes of Amunas Yitecha, in the regular three-volume set of the Sefer, there's only one piece on Lag BaOmer. Although if you look through the yearly volumes, they print his Torahs, the Shal Shudas Torahs in yearly volumes. There's many, many more. And scattered throughout the various parshios this time of the year, he talks a lot about the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. But this is the one official piece that's printed in the Sefer, and it's connected to this week's parsha. So I thought this would be a good place for us to begin the week together. He starts off with a very famous quote about Lag BaOmer from Rav Aaron of Karlin. If you never heard this quote before, get ready for it. Isa b'sefer beis Aaron. It says in the Sefer Beis Aaron. For those who don't know, by the way, Rav Wolfson Shlita is a Rav of a shul in Bar Park called Emunas Yisrael. And he was the Mashgiach for many, many years in Torah Vadas, Yeshiva's Torah Vadas. I think Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said about Rav Moshe Wolfson that his greatest accomplishment in his involvement in Torah Vadas was appointing Rav Wolfson as the Mashgiach. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said it was the most significant thing that he did in his time in Torah Vadas. So Rav Wolfson's a very, very special, Jew. And he's Baruch Hashem. He's alive and hopefully well. You should continue to be well. You should go see him. Just put your eyes upon him. He's the father-in-law of the Tzuchina Rebbe, also, just to give you a little bit of context, okay, for those who know. So, Isa b'Sefer Beis Aaron alag b'Omer, it's brought in the Sefer Beis Aaron from Rav Aaron of Karlin. Shekol mi sheyesh lo emuna b'Rashbi. Whoever has emuna in Rashbi. Whoever believes in the koach of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whoever believes in the message of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, whoever believes that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai believes in you, whoever has a muna in Rashbi, yesh lo chizik b'Rashbi. To whatever degree you believe in Rashbi, you'll be able to be strengthened by Rashbi. If you think Lag BaOmer, what do you mean? I open up the Shulchan Aruch, Lag BaOmer, we don't say Tachnun. Why is everyone making such a big deal out of it? There's nothing else. Okay, so it's obviously a perversion of an understanding of what the Yom Tov is about. And again, to me, one of the greatest proofs that Lag BaOmer is a significant day is because, like the Chazal say in the Gemara and Megillah, Apal pi de'iu lo chazi mazlayu chazi, there are things that we can't see with our physical eyes, but our mazel can sense. Or the Gemara that says, if we're not Nevi'im, we're B'nei Nevi'im, even if we don't have official Nevu'ah, Ruach HaKodesh, we have a chush, a sense of things. And it's not by chance, therefore, that 300,000 plus people go to Meiron to be with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Lag BaOmer. And if that's the most significant gathering of Jews that takes place on a yearly basis in our world today, it must mean that something's going on. Dvarim gedolim einam b'mikra, big things are not by chance. And therefore, even if, yes, you look in certain early sources and it's unclear exactly what happened on Lag BaOmer, but again, it becomes obvious to anyone who's immersing themselves in the world of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that something very, very major is happening in Klal Yisrael. And Rabbi Shimon is serving as our Rebbe to make that happen. So the more you believe in Rabbi Shimon, the more Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is able to help you get chizik from him. Kishem Shashem. Now look at this line. Kishem Shashem Yisparach Hu Hashem Lakol, Kach Rashbi Hu Rashbi Lakol, Afil Lepachus. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like God is for everyone. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for every Jew, regardless of his situation, the connection between a Jew and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an absolute connection, an absolute relationship. So too, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for everyone. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is not for a select group. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is not for only the biggest tzaddikim. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is for all, afilu lepechusim. I spoke last night, I was invited last night to speak in someone's home. For they had like a parlor meeting for the organization Petach. I'm sure some of us know about Petach. There's Petach in America, there's Petach in Eretz Yisrael. For the last 30 years, this woman, along with her the rest of her organization, has been working to provide services for Jewish children across the spectrum. in terms of what their families look like, to provide them with the services for their learning differences. I like, she doesn't call it learning disabilities. Learning differences. Learning differences. Everyone learns differently. So I was asked to speak, so I spoke for about 25 minutes just to offer some words of chizuk. You know, I started off, I said, I'm going to patach my mouth, and hopefully you'll patach your heart, and then afterwards you'll patach your wallet and give a nice donation to the organization. I was like very straight, like what I was doing there, you know? Like, I'm trying to get you to give more money. Let's be honest what this is about. But I said there's a very interesting Gemara. It's a very interesting Gemara about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai that you don't think as a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Gemara. The Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachos. You remember this story? Once upon a time, there was a Talmud who went to Rabbi Yeshua and said, Rabbi Yeshua, is Mariv obligatory or optional? It's optional. Then he went to Rabbi Gamliel and said, Rabbi Gamliel, is Mariv obligatory or optional? He says, it's a chova. So he says, oh, that's interesting. Rabbi Yeshua told me that it's optional. Rabbi Yeshua told you it's optional? What? Let's wait until everyone comes to the Beis Medrash. So they come to the Beis Medrash that day, and Rabbi Gamliel gives his psak, and he says, does anyone disagree? And no one moves, and he says, Yeshua, stand up. I heard you disagree. And he kept him on his feet, and he publicly embarrassed him. And the Chacham said, we can't handle that anymore. This is not the first time Rabbi Gamliel, whose Midah was Midah Sedin Gvura, it's not the first time this has happened. You keep embarrassing Rabbi Yeshua. This is the third offense. And they decided, we're getting rid of you. You're no longer going to be the head honcho. So who's going to take over? Who's going to lead the Beis Medrash? Maybe Rabbi Yeshua should be appointed. He was always embarrassed. In the end, they decide Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So he goes and he asks his wife, and his wife says, you know, my dear husband, you're a great guy, but you don't look firm enough. You need a long white beard. So he grows a long white beard overnight. Yeah? What happened then? What happens next is they remove the Shomer HaPesach, they remove the guard to the Beis Medrash, because Rabbi Gamliel, again, who was so fierce, Rabbi Gamliel's shita was anyone who's not Tocho Kabara, if you're not 100% the real deal through and through, you're not welcome in the Beis Medrash. On that day, they opened up the Beis Medrash. There was learning like never before. 400 rows of Talmidim, new Talmidim, came into the Beis Medrash. One opinion says 700 rows of Talmidim came into the Beis Medrash. And it was an unbelievably great day. And then Rabbi Gamliel goes, and you can see he goes to visit Rabbi Yeshua to apologize. He sees Rabbi Yeshua is living in abject poverty, and he says, "I never knew you were suffering like this." And he says, "That's exactly the problem. You're not in tune with the generation." Tells a whole long story. They work it out at the end, and then the Gemara says, "By the way, who was the Talmud? Who was the Talmud who got this whole thing started? Who was the Talmud who asked Rabbi Yeshua, what's the halacha? Is Mariv optional or obligatory?" And then asked Rabbi Gamliel, who is the one who started this whole craziness? It says, who is the Talmud? Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So I was thinking, why was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai the one who indirectly was zocha to open up the Beis Medrash to everyone? I mean, that wasn't his goal. When he went to ask Rabbi Yeshua, his Mariv, Rishus Archova, and then he asked Rabbi Gamliel, Rishus Archova, and it led to this whole big, you know, fight, which led to a changing of the guard, which led to all sorts of things, which led to a total change in the tzur of the Beis Medrash. But why does it make sense that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai should be the one to create a Beis Medrash where everyone's welcome? And again, that wasn't his kavanah, that wasn't his intention. But the answer is because that's the whole mahus of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rashbi l'kol afil l'puchusim. The whole nature of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is to be inclusive, is to make sure that every Jew is a kesher to Avinu Shabbat Shemayim. So that's the famous statement of the Beis Aaron. The more you believe in the message of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the more chizik you get from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not an exclusive club for tzaddikim and talmidei chachamim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is for everyone. And again, this is what all the teachers of Torah's Pnimius HaTorah have been working towards. The Baal Shem Tov is also working on the same thing. The Baal Shem Tov, following the path of the Arizal, following the path of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, is also working on making Torah accessible. That it shouldn't be an elite club of intellectuals, and Talmidei Chacham who learn Torah, and everyone else just, you know, sits in the corner and lives a bidyavad life. The Baal Shem Tov came to make life l'chadchila for everyone, to show that Hashem is for everyone. That's the message of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So he writes in the second paragraph, "Ulazvir dvarav hakadoshim." He quotes in the Sefer Avodas Yisrael b'shem Hamagid zechusu yegen aleinu. He quotes from the Avodas Yisrael. The Avodas Yisrael is the Kuznetzer Magid, Rabbi Yisrael of Kuznets, in the name of the Magid. Right? Stam, the Magid is the Magid of Mezrich, Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. Shebechol Yimei HaSvira Yisrael Mitzapim L'Yom Lag BaOmer. We look forward all of Sira for that great day of Lag BaOmer. Ki oz naseh ha'amtoka b'shem Elokim ayidei osios hakodmin dahainu osios chof dalid tes. What does that mean? That on Lag BaOmer we look forward to a hamtoka. What does hamtoka mean? A sweetening of the Midas Adin. Through the name Elokim, Elokim is God's name of Din, that on Lag BaOmer there's a softening of Midas Adin. That's why Rishon Bar Yochai is the one who says in the Gemara in Sukkah, Yochel ani liftoras kol ha'olam kula min adin. I can remove Midas Adin from the whole world. That was his Midah. And how does that happen on Lag BaOmer? So it's based again really on the Arizal. By taking the Shem Elokim and taking the Osios HaKodmin, the letters that come before it. So what letter comes before Aleph? There is no letter before Aleph. So Aleph remains an Aleph. What letter comes before Lamed? Chaf. What letter comes before Hey? Dalid. Yud? Tes. Mem Sofi, before the Mem comes a regular Mem. So the two end letters don't change. The Aleph and the Mem stay the same. And the three middle letters undergo a transformation. Okay? The shame of Hashem for Lag BaOmer is this shame. Aleph, Chaf, Dalid, Tes, Mem. It's Gematria 74. Bitchu b'Hashem ade ad. Believe in Hashem, habitachon in Hashem ade ad. Ad is 74. This shame is known as the shame habitachon in the writings of the Arizal. But that's a different mahalach. We don't want to get into that right now. We just want to focus on the fact that the three middle letters undergo some type of transformation, which sweetens the din. So what happens to those three middle letters, lamed, hey, and yud? They become chaf, dalid, and tes, which is gematria 33. So he says, what this means is, gematria lamed gimel, vizehu lag baomer, uperish a pasuk. And this is the explanation of the pasuk. Look at this, it's beautiful. Sama nafshi leilokim lekel chai. Sama nafshi, my soul thirsts for God, lekel chai, for the living God. Kel chai, what's the gematria of kel chai? 31 and 18 is 49. So over the course of the Yemei Sfira, so Omer, Sama nafshi leilokim lekel chai, remez lemem tes Yemei Sfira, she is Yisrael Mitzapim, but what are we looking forward to more than anything else? Masai Avo Ve'era'e Pnei Elokim. When will I be zochet to see the Pnei Elokim? What does it mean, Pnei Elokim? The face of the word Elokim, the letters before Elokim. Namely, this transformation of this name, which allows for a softening of the din, and allows for the Simcha of Lag BaOmer. Dahainu shiagia yom Lag BaOmer v'yizgalu v'osios shelofnei osios Elokim ad kan tochen dvarav. Those are the holy words of the Kajister Magid b'shem the Magid of Mezvich. V'tzarach lahav in inyan hamtachas hadinim b'Lag BaOmer. But we need to understand what is this inyan of softening or sweetening the din on Lag BaOmer. What's that about? What does that mean? So now we come to the parsha. Torah tells us, Parshas Amor, towards the end of the parsha, it's Parak of Dalit Pasuk Yod. I'm going to read you a couple of pesukim. Vayetze ben Yisha Yisraelis v'hu ben Ish Mitzri b'soch b'nei Yisrael. There was a young man who was the son of a Jewish woman. His father was a Mitzri man. Anyone know who this child was? Who's this child? A Mitzri father and a Jewish mother. And he goes out b'soch b'nei Yisrael v'yinatzu b'machana, and there was a fight in the camp. Ben Yisraelis, v'isha Yisraeli. And he gets into a fight with another Jew. Vayikov ben Aisha Yisraelis is Hashem. And he curses with the shame of Hashem. Vayikalel. Vayavio so Moshe. And they drag him to Moshe Rabbeinu to say, this person just blasphemed in the name of God. He needs to be punished. V'shem imo shlomis bas divri lamate dan. And who was his mother? His father was an Egyptian. His mother was none other than Shlomis Bas Divri from Shevet Dan. And they put him into jail to figure out what to do with him, the Pasuk says. And they asked the Kodesh Baruch Hu what to do. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu says this person needs to be killed for his crime. Who is this? Who is this child? Should we close the window? Yeah, I think we should. Thank you. Who is this? Who is this? Who is this person whose father was Egyptian, his mother was Jewish? This was Remember when Moshe killed the Egyptian? And why did he kill that Egyptian? He killed the Egyptian because that Egyptian was the one who had sent off a nice Jewish guy to work one day. And he kept him out at work. And he came back and he was intimate with his wife. And together they had a child. And who was this child? That was this child right here. The woman's name was Shlomis Bas Divri. Right? He was beating up the Jew. Remember, the Egyptian was beating the Jew because the Jew had found out his secret. He knew what had happened. He found out that he had been with his wife. Okay, now it happens to be, this was the only time, Chazal say, in Mitzrayim that such a thing happened. The Jewish women were tremendously guarded from any type of arayos. And even though she was taken advantage of here, a little bit it's her fault. As Chazal pointed out, her name was Shlomis Bas Divri. She was a little bit too friendly. She would say shalom to the other men. She was a little bit too comfortable talking to others. But that this child now gets into a big fight and he curses and gets himself killed. Okay? Vayetze. He went out. Where did he go out from? Says the Medrash, quoted by Rashi. Take a look, you have it in front of you. The Medrash actually gives three opinions. Rav Wolfson brings two here. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis. Mehechan Yotza. Where did he go out from? Where is he coming from? He went out. So I would say Pashup Shad, he went out to the camp. I don't know. He went out to the street and he picked a fight. But what was going on here? Where was he coming from? Rav Brechia Omer mi Parsha Shel Amal Yotza. What's the Parsha right before it? What's the series of psukim right before Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis? Again, this is in Parshas Emor Perachav Dalit. What happens right before that? It talks about the lechem upon him. So what's the Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis? Why did he go out and he started being so angry? What was he so angry about that it led to him, you know, blaspheming the name of God in this way? He was upset about the miracle of the lechem upon him. Says Rashi, quoted again in the Medrash in front of you, Ligleg v'chulu derech ha-melech lecho pas chama b'chol yom shema pas onedes shal tes yamim. Okay? Rav Wolfson doesn't give us the whole quote. But the quote is that he was very upset, and I'll read you Rashi. First of all, Rashi actually gives a first shot. The first shot, Vayetze, where did he go? Rabbi Levi says he went out of his world. Meaning he's about to ruin himself completely. But what caused him to get so angry? Rashi has two pshatim. Rav Brechia says, "Mi parsha shalamal yotza." Again, he made fun of the fact that it says, "Biyom haShabbos yarechenu." You would set up the lechem upon him 1 week, and he would eat it a week later, 9 days later from the time it was baked. Derech haMelech lechol pascham b'chol yom. It's the way of a king to eat fresh bread. Why in the Beis Hamikdash are you serving 9 day old bread? Now, what didn't he know about this 9 day old bread? That it would stay fresh for 9 days. But he was mezalzel. He thought it was absurd that they were serving old bread in the Beis Hamikdash. This is supposed to be such a holy place, and you serve old bread? So that's the Vayetze. What the Vayetze means, when the Parsha Shalmal, the Parsha that came right before this, was what caused him to get so upset. That's what caused him to get so upset. Okay. A second shot. By the two on the page. Two. Umasnisa Amra, second shot. Mi Basin Shal Moshe Yatsu Mechuyav. Maybe he came out of Moshe's Basin guilty. Guilty of what? Right? He was found. He lost the court case. What was the court case? Baal Yitah Olo B'soch Machan Adon. He said, my mother's from Sheva Adon. And he wanted to put his tent amongst Klal Yisrael and Machan Adon. And he said, I'm from Sheva Adon. They said, no, you're not. Your father's Egyptian. Your father's Egyptian. We go today, we follow the mother with regard to determining the Jewishness of a child. But prior to Kabbalah Satorah, we followed the fathers. The Pasuk says, Amar Leh Levei Savosam. They said back to him, you want to camp by us? You're not one of us. Go to your Egyptian father. We have nothing to offer you here. Ish al diglo ba'osos levei savosam. It says in Bamidbar, Perek Beis. Each man shall camp according to his father. So they said, you're not shayach to shave it done. So he went to Moshe's courthouse. They had a court case. Bakachava, he lost the case. Yes, you can't set up your tent by shave it done. You're not part of the shiva. You're not part of Klal Yisrael. He got very upset, and he went out and he blasphemed. Okay. So says Rav Wolfson, I can understand if he lost his court case and he's really upset. Right? He's been rejected. Okay. But let's go with the other pshat. What was he so angry about the lechem upon him? What does it mean that he was so upset that they're serving old bread in the Beis HaMikdash? And the bottom line was, in the Mishkan, it wasn't old bread. It was fresh bread. That was one of the miracles of the Mishkan. And the Lechem upon him stayed fresh after 9 days. So what was he so angry about? Says Rav Wolfson in the bottom paragraph. Let's add one more piece to the puzzle. In the Shulchan Aruch gives simanim in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh in Tav Chav Ches. The Shulchan Aruch gives simanim at bash. If you want to know what day of the week each of the various holidays throughout the calendar year are going to be, just follow a certain pattern that's established by Pesach. Pesach is the head of the year. Pesach is the Yom Tov that kicks off all of Yom Tovim. If you pay attention to Pesach, you can figure out all the other Yom Tovim. So At, Aleph Tav, Beis Shin, Gimel Reish. What does that mean? It means Aleph, Pesach, whatever day Pesach is, whatever day Pesach starts, that's going to be the same day of the week as Tisha B'Av. Beis, whatever day the second day of Pesach is going to be Shin, Shavuos. Gimel, whatever day the third day of Pesach is going to be the same day of the week as Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Now amongst that simen, it says there, Vasimen Hashishi Vav Peh. The sixth day of Pesach is Purim, but unlike all the other ones where it says, right, it says that Pesach tells you what's going to be, here's the opposite. That the sixth day of Pesach is the same day as Purim the previous year. So that means this year, the sixth day of Pesach was Shabbos. It was Sunday. It was Sunday. Just like the Purim that preceded Pesach was on Sunday. By all the other ones, you look at Pesach and it tells you what's going to, you know, coming attractions for the calendar year. But the sixth day of Pesach is the same day of the week as Purim, which preceded Pesach. Right? Adar is the end of the year. Nisan is the beginning of the year. So if you want to know, you want to know what? If I want to know on Pesach, I want to remember when Purim was. What does that mean? Vav Peh should be Yom Shishi, Lafkalim, Shal Pesach, Chal Purim, Sha'ava. The sixth day of Pesach, which was Sunday this year, is the same day as Purim, which was Sunday this year, this past year. Tzorech Lahavin Ezet, Tzorech Yish Besimin Kazet, Vadas Masai Haya Purim Avar. Why would I want to reflect back when Purim was in retrospect? When Purim arrives, when Purim is getting close and someone says to you, oh, do you know what day of the week Purim is this year? Right? So you say that, well, whatever day Pesach is going to be this year. So how does that help me? Right? I mean, I have to know two things ahead of myself. It's very strange. What's the nature of this remes? And then he says, and then there's one other remes that Shulchan Aruch brings. The Gama Simon HaAchron who plag that Purim and Lag BaOmer are on the same day. What day is Lag BaOmer this year? Sunday. Yom Rishon. What day was Purim this year? It was also Sunday. So Purim and Lag BaOmer have some connection. What's that about? So to answer all these questions, Rav Wolfson says, let's understand the Lechem upon him from a Purim perspective. He says in the next paragraph, Ulavair kol chamira, to put all the pieces together, kamin chomer, to make a single entity out of it, yesh loma. When it says the name of the advisors of Achashverosh, Karshna, Shesar, Vachulu, each one of them has a name that's based on something good that Klal Yisrael did. So for example, the Gemara says Karshna, that the angel said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klom hekrivu lefanecha karim b'nei shana. Did the nations of the world ever offer you karim b'nei shana? Did they ever offer you like a karban tamid on a daily basis, the way the Jews do? Do they offer karbanos the way that Klal Yisrael does? Right, Mamuchan. Who's Mamuchan? Haman. Says the Gemara, Mamuchan. I'll tell you something good about Klal Yisrael, the angels say. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mamuchan. Did the nations of the world ever make a hachana like the Jews make for you? Well, what type of hachana? Preparing what? He says, Mamuchan, Amamuchan darshu klum hechinu lefanecha lechem apanim. Did the nations of the world ever prepare before you a lechem apanim like the Jews do? So how can you destroy Klal Yisrael? How can you let Haman HaRasha get away with these things? So Mamuchan Haman, who we know is also known as Mamuchan, is connected to the Lechem Apanim. What's the connection between Haman and the Lechem Apanim? We name Mamuchan, where it's underlined, Zeh Haman. The Lama Davka B'Shemo Merumas Tainazu. The Gam Lama Naka Davka Lechem Apanim V'lo Ketores or Lakas HaMenorah. There's other things that we prepare. we prepare the ketores, we prepare the menorah. Why dafka mamuchan did anyone prepare the lechem upon him like Klal Yisrael did for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's the connection between Haman and Purim and the lechem upon him and the 12 loaves of bread in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan? So he says in the next paragraph, the bottom paragraph of the first page, we know that Haman HaRasha was the greatest Baal Lashon Hara in the world. And we know that Haman said about Klal Yisrael, Yeshno Am Echad. And what did he mean by Yeshno Am Echad? There is one nation, Yeshno. What was Haman accused? We're totally under attack on all sides. This is crazy. Can you hear me? Should I stand? They're drilling in the base medrash. Yeshno Am Echad, the Gemara says that Haman said about Klal Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael is Yeshenim in HaMitzvos, that the Jewish people are sleepy Jews, that they're not really Jews who are fired up to serve you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, let's try to understand the relationship between Haman and the Lechem Aponim. What's the Chiddush of the Lechem Aponim? The Chiddush of the Lechem Aponim is that time doesn't take a toll on the Lechem Aponim. That 9 days after this bread has been sitting on this shelf, 9-day-old bread is as fresh as if it just came out of the oven. Haman's claim against Klal Yisrael is that as time goes on, they get lazy, they get tired, they're not into it. You read a Sadoros, they've lost that spark, they've lost that warmth for Torah and Mitzvos. And therefore, the response to Mamuchan is, did anyone else ever prepare the Lechem Aponim like the Jewish people? The Lechem Aponim is the reminder, the 12 loaves of bread is the reminder that all 12 Shvatim in Klal Yisrael, turn to the top of page 2, that all 12 Shvatim in Klal Yisrael are still warm, still have that inner fire. A Jew doesn't get stale. A Jew never gets ruined. That's what the Lechem Aponim represent in such a beautiful way. And that's why he says at the top of page 2, page Nun Aleph, "Ukmo the Isa b'Gemara she'magbiin ashulchan b'ragolim libnei Yisrael." When Bnei Yisrael would come, Aliyah l'Regel, they would lift up the shulchan. They would try to lift it up so you could actually see into the Beis HaMikdash to see the Shulchan. And they would say, look how much Hashem loves you. Look how much Hashem desires you. Why the Shulchan? Because the Shulchan shows, the Shulchan was the reminder that a Jew never loses that connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. A Jew is always fresh. Even if on the outside he gets a little crusty once in a while. Right? But the Lechem Aponim is the reminder that a Jew, Be'etzem, is always fresh, he's always warm, he's always connected. And therefore the 12 loaves, he says, correspond to the 12 Shvatim. Correspond to the 12 different ways you could rearrange Hashem's name. Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey. You could rearrange the letters 12 different ways. Just like you can't erase Hashem's name, you can't erase a Shevet. You can't erase a member of Klal Yisrael. And the Jewish people still have that fire inside it. He says in the next paragraph, Zehera HaNes Shal Purim, so the Chiddush of Purim, the victory over Haman, the greatest Baal Lashon Hara in the world, the person who wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, by convincing us that what? That as time goes on, you're going to get old, you're going to get stale, you're not going to make it. And the victory of Purim, the victory over Haman, the celebration of Purim, a celebration which is what? Which is lamalim and azman, lamalim and ateva. Purim is a simcha of lasid lavo. Right? Remember, we learned that Purim is going to be forever. Purim continues even after Mashiach comes. Purim is a taste of the future. Purim is a taste of a perfected world, because that's the chiddush of Klal Yisrael. That the Jewish people don't get old and the Jewish people don't get stale. Ve'eina ava beinamu bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu misyashin. The love between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't ever get old. Ve'adrapa, afilu b'shashim chotim gam oz lo zoz michavavan. Michivavan. At the time that a Jew doesn't have air, Hashem even loves you. Where do you see that on Purim? There's a famous Chassam Sofer. He quotes it here. The Chassam Sofer says, isn't it unbelievable that at the moment that the Jews are being nana misudaso shalachash ve'erosh, at the very moment, the Chazam Sofer says, "Shebaosuzman gufa shechatu v'nenu misudasa shachas ve'ash harasha." Baosuzman gufa farheichin Hakadosh Baruch Hu as Yeshua v'silek as Yishto. At the very moment, the Jews were committing a terrible offense, celebrating the fact that God had given up on them. At that same party, what was happening? Vashti was being killed, paving the way for Esther to come to power and to bring Yeshua the Klal Yisrael. So that's unbelievable. That's amazing, no? that at the very moment the Jews were committing one of the worst averas maybe in Jewish history, of Sudas Achashverosh, celebrating at such a party, celebrating the fact that the Jewish people would never get out of Galus, at the very moment that they're doing such an offensive avera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was moving the pieces around to get Vashti out of the way, to allow for what? To allow for Esther to come to power and to bring Yeshua to Klais. V'zeh inyanu shel Purim. Shebo miskala godel ha'ava bin Yisrael l'makom l'malam mi'azman v'aseichel. Therefore Purim is completely l'malam mi'azman l'malam mi'aseichel. So now we understand the remez to Purim. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? Vav pei. That the sixth day of Pesach is last year's Purim. Why is that so? What it means is that Purim, see, all the other Yom Tovim are looking back to Pesach, and they're drawing from Pesach, which is the beginning of the year. Right? So therefore, Tisha B'Av is being established, the date of Tisha B'Av is based on the first day of Pesach. The date of Shavuos is based on the second day of Pesach. The day of Rosh Hashanah is based on the third day of Pesach. But Purim is not drawing from Pesach in reverse. Purim is drawing from Pesach in the future. Purim is looking towards the final Geula. So the remez is Vav Pei. Whatever Purim was in the past, Pesach is going to be in the future. Because Purim has that futuristic look. It's a taste of Lasid Lavo. It's drawing from the final Tikkun of Ame Chulam Tzadikim. It's the perfection of the Jewish people. It's the absolute reality of the Jewish people. It's the greatest attack on Klal Yisrael ever in the form of Haman HaRasha. And the fact that with all of his evil plans, he wasn't able to destroy us. So now we come back to the Parsha. Now we come back to this quasi-Jew, right, who wasn't really Jewish because his father is Egyptian and he was born prior to Kabbalah Satorah, which means he's an Egyptian. And he's very upset about the Lechem upon him. We ask, what's he so upset about the Lechem upon him? The answer is as follows. Says Rav Wolfson, the bottom of the right-hand column, V'zeh ha'yeh gamkin inyan parsha zu. She'oso ben ish mitzri ben ha'isha yisraelish. What did he think? Chashav ki af she'eni miyuchon mizer ha'avos v'ani ben ish mitzri. I know I'm not a full-fledged Jew, but my mother's from Shevet Dan, and I know that really it goes by the father, but I have enough of a connection, and the truth is, of all Shvatim, Shevet Dan, I could probably put my tent by Shevet Dan. Why? Shevet Dan is described throughout as the Yerud Shevashvatim, the lowest of the Shvatim. So this guy said, okay, maybe I can't put my tent by Yehuda. But by Shevet Dan, come on, Shevet Dan, they're not so frum, they're not so serious. They're not so fresh. I can at least put my tent by them. I can't be by Yehuda who leads Klal Yisrael. What happened to Shevet Dan when they traveled in the Midbar? They got kicked out of the Ananiya Kavod. When Amalek came to attack and they were taking advantage of the weaklings, who were the weaklings? Chazal revealed to us it was Shevet Dan. So this son of Shlomo Bas Divri, with the Mitri father, says, okay, I can't be part of Shevet Yehuda. But Shevet Dan is basically Chutzal Machana anyways. They're the worst of the worst of the Jews. So the worst Jew, at least, I'm a decent non-Jew, so we're on the same page. The lowest Jew and a decent non-Jew are for sure at least equal. And he was so upset to find out that it's not true. That even the Jew is the lowest Jew. It's still warm on the inside, like the lechem upon him. V'heim ayu nechasham asher zanav amalek. V'heim min apachusim shabam. V'kvar niskar v'nisiyash. He said, they're cold, and they're stale, and therefore I can camp amongst them. However, v'lechein ba'al lito olav mach, and I done. But he came out of Moshe's base then, and he was told, no, you can't. You can't even come to be among Shevet Dan. Because even the lowest Jew, when we wake up in the morning, we say, shalom asani gai. The tzaddikim say the kavana is, I'd rather be the schleppiest, lowest, right, most broken yid, than to be the most powerful and world-recognized and wealthy, etc., 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 Gentile of the world. Because you can't compare a Jew to anything else in the world. Mikol makom hi mizera ha'avos v'adayin yesh besocham ha'nekuda pnimis. The shalheves, so to speak, the flame of the avos is still alive in them. Shal zeh mor ha'anis shal lechem upon him. You realize what Mordechai and Haman are fighting about? It's also about this connection to the avos. It's a question of the absolute connection of a Jew, right, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Avos solidified the relationship between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Avos Ubanim. Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokecha. That's why the gematria of Baruch Mordechai is the same as Ar Haman, right? We know that. Baruch Mordechai and Ar Haman is the same gematria. What's the magic number? What's the number? 502. What's 502? What were they fighting about? What's 502? 502 is the number of years that the Avos lived. That's why I'm talking about it. 502. 175, 180, and 147 is 502. So really, the fight between Haman and Mordechai is there such a thing as Chus Avos running out? And Haman says yes. Yeshno Am Echad, they're Yeshenim and Amitzvos. They've lost their connection. And Mordechai's response is absolutely not. There's no such thing. That even the lowest Jew is on fire for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And he couldn't understand that. He couldn't understand that, and that's why he hated the Lechem Aponim. Because the Lechem Aponim, again, was that constant reminder that even as time goes on, the Jew is Lamalim and Azman. The Jew is not affected by time. And even the lowest Jew, even the Jew that seems to be most disconnected, is still part of Klal Yisrael. Go to the bottom left-hand corner. So now we understand, now that we've explained Purim, we can explain Lag BaOmer. Because what was the last remez in the Shulchan Aruch? Plag. Purim, Lag BaOmer. Vezeu gam ken inyan shel Lag BaOmer. Ki rash bi gila sheyesh pnimiyas haTorah v'rozen d'oraisa. Rav Shmuel Yochai was megala that what? That there's a secret. There's a secret to Torah, which means there's a secret to every Jew. The Torah within every Jew. V'alkol os v'os yesh tilei tilim sodas haTorah. V'chol echad miYisrael yesh lo os b'Torah. V'im kein gam l'chol echad miYisrael yesh pnimiyas. And that's what the base Aaron that we started with is saying. Kol sheyesh lo amunah b'rashbi yesh lo chizik b'rashbi. Means what? That if you believe in Rishon Baruchai, Rishon Baruchai believes in you. You can draw strength from Rishon Baruchai. That every single Jew, v'chol echad miYisrael yesh sod nisgav gavoa mi'al gavoa. Sheshum adam v'afilu malach eino meivin olav. To have a depth of connection that no one can understand. Lag ba'omer hu tikin la'achit shatalmid Rabbi Akiva. Shelo nagu kavod zavazeh. That they thought that what? That some are better than others. It's not true. All 12 loaves of the Lechem Aponim, corresponding to the 12 Shvatim, that even, so to speak, the Shevet Dan Jews also have a Sheikhas. They also have a connection. Bottom line. Back page. If you have a question, why does Hashem like this Jew? What does this Jew do? He's a stale Jew. He's no longer hot anymore. He's no longer fresh. Halahu betachlis hashiflus. Hateretzu shal pisod yeshul chashivus. Yes, maybe on the surface he doesn't have a chashivus. But bepnimius. And that's what Rishon Baruchai. Right? Rishon Baruchai was megala that just like Torah has a secret, so every Jew has a secret. And he says that's the connection between Purim and Lag BaOmer. Just like Purim, again, responds to Haman, Memuchan. Did anyone ever of the nations of the world ever prepare the Lechem Aponim like Klal Yisrael did? So Purim is the same day as Lag BaOmer. Purim this year was on Sunday, Lag BaOmer is on Sunday. Why? Again, to emphasize this point. That afilu hapachos shebepuchusim shadayin nosha besocha ruachayim kiviyom yilachal. V'lachein b'lag ba'omer. Yesham takas adinim. So now we understand why Lag BaOmer is a day of what? Of ham takas adinim. Right? The Pnei Elokim, the letters before Elokim, like we said. Ki inyan adin hu shenosnim la'adim kefi masheroi la'api din. Because again, what is Midas Adin? Midas Adin means this is what you deserve. Based on, you see is what you get, what's on the surface. Hod is a lashon of submissive, of surrender, of shiftless, of hachna, of lowliness. Like Rashi explains by Leah, hapam odes Hashem, shenatalti yoser michalki. That there's something more than it appears to be. V'zeu she'af al pishim in Adin. In Megillah Odover, that sometimes Midas Adin says it doesn't make sense that it should be this way. About Inyan Hod who little Yoser Me'am Megillah, to put on the glasses of Rishon Baruchai, which again is the perspective of Kadosh Baruch Hu himself, to see the sod, the secret that lies in every single Jew. So Bezrat Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us. Again, you have to believe in Rabbi Shimon in order to get chizik from Rabbi Shimon. Rav Tzadok has a klal that the reason that a person who doesn't believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim doesn't get Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's not a punishment. It's just a metzias. If you don't believe in an idea, it can't help. It can't work for you. So, Mirtz Hashem, we should believe in Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and the Koch of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We should draw a lot of chizik from the Heilige Tanya of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.